My friends, this morning we're going to continue with the discourse that we had a few months ago to the borders thereof. And this deals with the nation of Israel. For the last few years, this has been a pet topic of mine. I'm very much interested in Israel from the standpoint of today and from its ancient history. Its ancient history is one that we are to behold as the blessings of God in its ultimate upon the nation, or a nation of the earth. We know that God promised the land to them. It was God's land. It was no one else's. It's this of all the earth, this particular section of the world, of the earth, belonged to God, and he gave it to his promised people to use. They were to possess it. In recapping the last lesson that we had, we saw how Abraham was born over here. Now, this is the Mediterranean Sea. You can all make this out, and you'll see it on your own particular map there. Mediterranean Sea, all the way up to Turkey, Lebanon, Syria, Egypt, and so forth, Jordan, present-day Syria, and Iraq. Ur of Chaldees was in Iraq. On the southern, actually the southern part of it, pretty close to the Persian Gulf. And God promised Abraham that if he would leave his kindred and go to a land, he would show him a land, and that he was promised a land that he would inherit, a land that would be also flowing with milk and honey. Well, if the promise to Abraham over here in the Ur of Chaldees was that promised land, then Abraham wouldn't have had to leave it, because he's already in the promised land. But that Iraq, or present-day Iraq, or the Ur of Chaldees way over here, Abraham had to leave. So he went up around, and he traversed a border. He went up to the river Euphrates. He went up probably through what is Babylon and so forth, and he went up to the river Euphrates. And from the river Euphrates, he went south. Went south down to the Hebron area, down here, Jerusalem. He went into Canaan. And in Canaan, God made a promise to Abraham as a result of him offering up Isaac. Thee and thy seed should all the families of the earth be blessed. As the seed would be as the stars of heaven and the sands of the seashore. Now we're concerned with the seed of the sands of the seashore. Now, Abraham lived and he died, and his seed really didn't grow that large. He had Abraham, Isaac. Isaac had Jacob. Jacob had 12 sons. And the 12 sons, we know, that went over into Egypt. And in Egypt, eventually they came out through the Exodus, through Sinai, up around over the Jordan, back into present-day Israel or Jerusalem, and then the land was divided into the 12 tribes. But the 12-tribe division of the land did not encompass from the Wadi El Arish, which we feel is the southern border of Israel, to the river Euphrates, which is the northern border. These two borders we have distinct reference as to being the actual border. We have a third border, which is the Mediterranean Sea. That's the western border. The eastern border is the only border that would not we cannot be positive of in today's geography. Whatever it is, the Lord will surely give them that land, not an inch more or not an inch less. The land that they will get will be within Syria and Jordan. Remember, in the division of the land to the 12 tribes, it did not encompass the whole of the land. The only time the land actually that they received the whole land that was promised to them under Abraham was, and for a short time, was only during the reigns of David and Solomon, and especially Solomon. But after that, with the other kings, their lands in the wars that they had became smaller, and it drew back to the boundaries of the 12 tribe division. We know that the Sinai is not part of Israel, so Israel, in the 79 peace accord with President Sadat, this Sinai went back to Egypt. That's not part of the promised land. The land of Moab is not part of the promised land. That's on the west side of the Dead Sea. That is not part of the promised land. In fact, when the Israelites on their journey with Joshua and Moses, when they came up to Mount Nebo, they were instructed of God to bypass Moab, not to be in contention with them, because that Moab is from Lot's heritage, and God promised the land of Moab to them. Mount Nebo would be on the upper end of the Dead Sea, if you could find it on your map, in present-day Jordan. We have two tribes within the, two of the conquered tribes within the country that we're concerned with. I think the first one is the Jebusites. They were conquered by Israel, and Israel under Joshua entered into the land. And Jebusites were the tribe that occupied Jerusalem and its particular environs. And what do we know about the Jebusites? We know that Abraham bought from Jebusite Arunah, he bought the threshing floor for the place where David bought the threshing floor, but it was here that Abraham that Abraham offered up Isaac, his son. Later on, David bought the threshing floor of Arunah, and herein is where finally under Solomon the temple, the first Solomon's temple was built in Jerusalem under the and it was under Jebusite rule prior to that. The next area we're I think is all of them that we're concerned with, and it's much in today's news, is the Gazaites in Gaza. Gaza is a strip of land. I'm not quite positive. It's about 10 miles deep and 30 miles long. It's just a small area that's controlled by the so-called Palestinians today. But in the Bible definition of the Gazaites, they were probably, they're not Jews. They were Philistines, and the Philistines came from the island of Cyprus, the island of Cyprus, which is up here, and Crete, which is west of Cyprus. There was quite a distance between Cyprus and Crete and Israel. But the Gazites, we feel on the original onset being Philistines, they were shipping people. They had ships, and Gaza has beautiful ports, and therein, from these two areas, Crete and Cyprus, Gaza became the Philistines. Philistines were in contention always with Israel. And remember that the Ark was captured once by the Philistines and held in the Philistine temples. And what happened to the Philistines is that they had much trouble. And what they did with the Ark was told the Israelites, come, get this Ark back, because it gives us nothing for problems. And the Israelites went and repossessed the Ark, and then from there they took the Ark up into Shiloh. So we know that the borders then are on the border of Gaza, the southwestern border of Gaza, where the Wadi al-Arish is, up into following the Mediterranean on the western side of Israel, up to the Euphrates River. And just how far east it goes, well, God will only make a determination of that. The borders that Israel has under the Ten Tribe Kingdom only existed for a period of during the kings. Now, when the kings, last king Zedekiah, came on the throne, what happened? He was taken by Nebuchadnezzar. There's a scripture that says, and thou profane wicked prince of Israel, whose day is come, when iniquity shall have an end, thus saith the Lord God, remove the diadem, take off the crown, this shall not be the same, exalt him that is low, abase him that is high. I will overturn it, and it shall be no more until he comes whose right it is, and I will give it to him. So the right to rule was taken away from Israel, and they became an oppressed nation. It became a conquered nation from that point onward. Our Lord assumed the diadem. He has the right to rule. Now, Israel has had a parade of conquerors down through the centuries, approximately 2,500 and some odd years, till 1948. She had Babylon as her first conqueror. In Medo-Persia, the Ptolemais, the Hasmoneans, Rome, Byzantium, the Muslims, the Crusaders, the Saladins, you had the Franks, you had the Mamluks, you had the Tartars, you had the Ottomans, and finally they had the British. Now, the British from 1878 to 1948 had a very difficult time of it. Why? Because God was bringing forth an energy that would exist in Israel. An energy that developed right after she went into captivity. What happened when Israel went into captivity? Israel lost everything as a nation. It's remarkable that prior to Zedekiah and their captivity, Israel went into idolatry at different times in the grossest forms. They worshipped calves. They had sacrificed, even had sometimes, at times, human sacrifices. They were a divided kingdom. There was a two-tribe kingdom. Kingdom of Israel, kingdom of Judah, the kingdom of Samaria. It's equally remarkable that from A.D. 70, the remarkable thing is how they went into idolatry and went into the Ten Tribes Kingdom. I think it's equally remarkable that from the time of their return and the 70 years captivity, idolatry in its grosser forms was never once known again in Israel, in its grosser forms. In Babylon, the Israelites, they would sit on the banks of the river Euphrates, and we can well picture this, and wept as they remembered Zion, their home. Their thoughts traveled back to the promises that God has made to them. You know, in captivity, the Jews developed a religious fervor and a light in character. We feel this is what saved Judaism at that time. It became to them a policy of exclusiveness. They were Jews. Nothing else. Nothing else now mattered. They would not accept the Babylonian ideologies and gods. And they were surrounded by them. Remember, their tendency was to worship these false gods. But in Babylon, they didn't. I think the same policy exists with the church of today. We of the church. We have an exclusiveness in Christ. And the apostles and our Lord Jesus enjoined this to us. Our exclusiveness. It brings us together. It separates us from the world. The remarkable thing, too, was, remember, in their captivity, they were a divided kingdom. And in Ezekiel, the 37th chapter, we're not going to read these, but the 15th to 28th verses describes Israel as two sticks, the 10 tribes and the 2 tribes. This is very important, I think, in present-day history and so forth. The 2 sticks represent the divided kingdom of Israel. These 2 sticks were joined together, and they shall become one in thy hand. This was done in the presence of the people to show that the exiles of Israel carried into Babylon were to be joined together. Samaria, the capital of the 10 tribe kingdom, was destroyed. This was a big city. We've seen that a number of times. Nablus and Shechem, some of us know where they are. That's close. That's part of the 10 tribe kingdom area. Now, they were to unite with Judah, and they did so. The Lord said, I will make of them one nation, and one king shall be over them all. They shall be no more two nations, neither shall they be divided into 2 kingdoms anymore at all. From these passages, friends, we can readily see in Ezekiel 37:15-28, that there were no lost 10 lost tribes of Israel, as some suppose, especially those that make claim of British Israel. The Bible is very explicit to us on this fact. What happened to the 10 and 2 tribes? They were joined together, pictured by the 2 sticks. With Zedekiah being overthrown by Nebuchadnezzar and the judgments pronounced in Ezekiel, the 21st chapter, the 25th to the 27th verses, we see that herein the Jubilee cycle also ended. Up until this point, they had 19 50-year cycles of the Jubilee. But this is, of course, another study, and maybe some time we'll cover that in its entirety. The Jews returned to the land It's been suggested probably that the same number that left Israel returned to the land. And this was God's possession to them. Though God permits other nations to hold, permitted to have other nations hold it captive, it's only by God's permission that whatever happens over there happens by God's direction. As we stated before, many were to possess the land before, in 19, finally in 1948, it was given back to its rightful owners. We know that from history and from visual application of the area, no one did anything with the land. It's been a habit of the people in these areas, not only in Israel, but in other countries. The most beautiful buildings and so forth are left in complete ruins. They take so much from the land and give nothing back in return. This is especially true not only in Israel, but also in Turkey, Asia Minor, where the seven churches are existed. The cities where these seven churches existed are nothing but crumbled heaps of stones. Beautiful it is that God has so arranged that Israel to inherit the land that was promised to her. Not the land given by to them of the 12 tribes, but the land that will be, that's promised to Father Abraham. That whole land they shall encompass. And we feel that that land and that promise will be accomplished when the Lord says he will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Jacob. Not like the covenant they broke, but in that covenant they will be God's people directly, and God will bless them to the ultimate end, not only giving them life, but giving them the privilege of helping all the families of the earth and blessing them also. Israel will inherit the land. And we know that this time is shortly coming to pass. So with these thoughts, friends, we know that the doubles of the 1845 years to 2520 years, how beautifully they fit in the picture of Israel, her captivity, and what she is going through. So I thought for the remainder of the time that we have, when the Lord says he will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Jacob, not like the covenant they broke, but in that covenant they will be God's people directly, and God will bless them to the ultimate end, not only giving them life, but giving them the privilege of helping all the families of the earth and blessing them also. Israel will inherit the land, and we know that this time is shortly coming to pass. So with these thoughts, friends, we know that the doubles of the 1845 years to 2520 years, how beautifully they fit in the picture of Israel, her captivity, and what she is going through. So I thought for the remainder of the time that we have, I could say more, but I thought it'd be nice for us to ask questions or speak up as to anything you have in mind as concerns the subject that we've discussed from a standpoint of where it would elaborate more on the promises of God to us and to Israel. So we'll close this part and open it up for your questions and your comments. Yeah.
Right on the Mediterranean.
Right.
Is that the Gaza map
that tells me? Yeah, that's definitely it. Yes.
Okay. Now, the map doesn't belong, like you said in your talk, but maybe I misunderstood you. That doesn't belong to Israel.
It belongs to Israel, yes.
But it's a promised land.
It's part of the promised land. See, when the Israelites went in, when Joshua went in to capture the land, that's one of the tribes that there was not a major battle with. You know, the Lord told them to destroy all the people. He didn't tell them about the Gazites. That was one of the areas that escaped that particular punishment. Other areas didn't, and the other areas are the ones in particular that are the thorn, as it were, in Israel's side, even to today. The Lord promised that they would be a thorn in his side, in their side.
That land is part of the land.
That land extends into the Wadi Al-Arish. I prefer to think it is because of the dealings that they had with the Philistines. So my reasoning on the subject, I would prefer to think that it is, because that also includes a little bit of Ashkelon and Eshkelon, which is almost part of that. Well, it's great port country. Yeah.
Even though it's not almost directly northwest of
Yeah, Ashdod and Ashkelon. The thing about Gaza is also that with a little water, it can be very productive. It's part of what they call the Shephelah. Shephelah, spelled something in it. It's Shephelah. It's, what it means is low land, level land, great for raising all kind of vegetables. And in Gaza, the proper, there's many palm trees, and with water, there's many gardens and vegetable farms there. The weather is ideal. Ideally suited for raising crops.
The map that you gave us, Paul, where is the river Euphrates?
It's way up in the top. Let me see. No, it's not on this map, Tony. It's still north. North of the Hittite. You see where the Hittite Empire is? Up in the very top, it's north of that, yes. Yeah. Okay. Well, from Jerusalem up to the river Euphrates, it's got to be about 500 miles at least.
No, but on this map,
the river Euphrates is here. Well, it starts at the Persian Gulf and goes all the way up in, and goes up in, and comes up in around the continental divide, as it were, or the waters of Mount Hermon, and all the mountain range in Armenia make up the waters for the Euphrates and the Tigris. The Tigris is here, the Euphrates is here. They the three in the south. Jerusalem. It's got to be at least 500 miles from
Jerusalem.
Yeah.
From the north of the southern border.
Yeah.
Much more than 500 miles.
Oh yes, it's quite a distance. If you have your Bible, maybe if you have a Bible map, you might be able to determine it. No. It only goes up to the Euphrates. The Euphrates is the northern border of it.
It's not the west.
The Euphrates flows north. From the north, it flows southeast. This is southeast. Part of it, yes, which incorporates Syria, all of Syria, present-day Syria. If you find a map and look at it, Syria, a good portion of Syria, even Damascus, that belongs to Israel. Yes, which under the promise of God to Abraham, under the division of the ten tribes or the 12 tribes, Israel did not receive all that land. Under Solomon, David and Solomon, remember, under the judges, it was a closer knit. In other words, in the onset, when Israel came back from Egypt in the Exodus and went in to possess the land, there was approximately 2 million people. Well, 2 million people can't spread out very far and encompass this whole land. So by the time that the kings came on the scene, you know, they had a period of judges was 450 years, space of 450 years, the people's numbers grew. And they incorporated the land under the ten tribes. But that still was not the land that was promised to Abraham. Under the wars that David and Solomon, or David had, and then Solomon, with his treatises with the other kings, the land almost probably was all the land that was promised to Abraham. But that was short-lived, because after Solomon and Rehoboam and so forth, they came in as kings and they lost so much of it that they finally came down to the ten and two tribe kingdom. Okay? Any more? Charles? Yeah, oh yes, Lebanon is definitely land. So by the time that the kings came on the scene, 450 years, the people's numbers grew, and they incorporated the land under the ten tribes, but that still was not the land that was promised to Abraham. Under the wars that David and Solomon, or David had, and then Solomon, with his treatises with the land almost probably was all the land that was promised to Abraham. But that was short-lived, because after Solomon, then Rehoboam and so forth, they came in as kings and they lost so much of it that they finally came down to the ten and two tribe kingdom. Okay? Any more? Charles? Yeah, oh yes, Lebanon is, definitely. Yeah. Right.
And I'd like to, if you could elaborate a little more, you mentioned it, between the Jordan River and the Euphrates River.
Then how much of that area? Well, that we're not sure. That's the eastern border. At the eastern border, we can't be too positive. That's the only border that's left undecided, because present-day Jordan, we could well imagine that it's going to incorporate all of present-day Jordan, but just how much of it? And if you notice how Jordan the country Jordan is. It comes up around from the base down, probably down around Petra, a little lower, below Petra, and down into Saudi Arabia. It comes up around and at the probably over west of, east of Amman, present-day Amman, Jordan, which is in the center of the whole country, there's a jog that sticks out and goes towards Iraq. We don't know whether the land will go up and cut Jordan off in the true land that's promised to Abraham. You know, there was one promise to the ten tribes and there was one promise to Abraham. And I feel that the promise to Abraham supersedes the promise to the 12 tribes, because that's the more important one. The 12 tribes incorporated only a part of the land because they didn't have the people to occupy this whole thing. But in the overall picture, the picture of Abraham, as his sands become as the sands of the seashore, or his seed becomes as the sands of the seashore, God will bless them with the land promised to Abraham. He says, this land I give to thee and thy seed forever. Yes, Esther?
You said that
a goodly portion of it. Just how much east, I don't know. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right, Harriet?
I don't know if you can answer this in relation to what you were saying, but when Abraham went up on the mountain, God told him to look.
Yeah.
The north, south, east, and west, and everything
that he
can see.
He would get.
How high would that mountain have been, and how far could he have seen?
Well, if he went on top of Mount Nebo, for instance, I don't know which mountain it is that he went on.
Well, we went on the first trip, and really,
if
he didn't see that whole
tree. On Nebo.
On Mount Nebo.
Well, on.
Yeah.
Well, I've seen. Well, Nebo is pretty high. I've seen it in January and in October. It's from Jerusalem. There's no difficulty seeing it from the Mount of Olives. If that's the mountain that the Lord took him on, we don't know. But also, God, I think. And the scriptures indicated that Abraham traversed all that land also. He walked it all. Yeah. He could have gone up onto Mount Hermon. Mount Hermon is, I don't know which mountain it is that Abraham went on, but whatever mountain it is, he could see. If it was, we'll just suppose it was Hermon, he could see just about all of Syria, and he could see a goodly portion of Israel. He could see a goodly portion of Jordan and Lebanon. He could probably, when the winter months, you can see the Mediterranean from Mount Hermon, the top of Mount Hermon. So it depends on which mountain. And besides, I think also that the Lord directed Abraham, when he was feeding his flocks, that he would traverse all that land in feeding the flocks in a circumvent of all the land that he would promise them. I think God's direction in it was remarkable in that he also showed him what he was going to give him. There could be food for thought in many ways. Any other points? So, one more point we'll cover.
There's one view that the Moses came from the land of Israel. The stoning place is right above Jerusalem, the rocks. In that area there, which is a little river, Jordan, we could see from all the way north, south, east, and west.
Well, it's from the Mount of Olives. You get on the Mount of Olives, you can see.
Well, this is up above.
Check them?
No, it's just below. It's about 5 miles above the roof. Anyway, there, and you can see all those areas there.
Well, it could be up around Bethel, then. Bethel and Ramo, present day Ramo.
Now, Paul, you're Mount Nebo is right east of Jerusalem.
Yeah. Yeah, it's east of Jerusalem, it's...
And Mount Vernon is way up in the north.
Right.
So that's why I mentioned, I thought you, now which mountain are you...
We're not told which mountain he was on. I said, either one of these mountains, if he saw the land of what Harriet has mentioned, he's taken up to a mountain there, he was to look north, south, east, and west. From either of these mountains, he could see sufficient of the countries, more than the land, the countries. He could see up into, from Nebo, he could see up to Syria, he could see down south, down to the lower end of the Dead Sea, he could see east, he could see the total land of the mountain ranges of present-day Jordan, and he could see east over the, not, I don't feel that he could see the Mediterranean, but he could see to the hills of Jerusalem. He could see Jerusalem with no problem at all. I mean, to see the total encompassment of it, other than from a satellite picture, I think no matter what mountain you're on over there, it would be physically impossible to see the total land, as it were.
Now, if it was Mount Hermon, that's too far north of the south. Whereas if it's Nebo, about halfway.
No, from Hermon you can see south.
How far south? You can see. If it goes all the way south, like you're saying, 500 miles.
No, it goes north. I don't think from a mountain you could see the total of the land, but I think you could see the countries that it would incorporate. Venice, we're going to almost have to close. Peekskill Mountain? Where do you see that? Excuse me.
Right across from Jerusalem. Right below Grinch Mount Nebo. See Jerusalem is right to the right of that.
Oh, yeah, okay, I see it. I see where I am. Yeah.
Remember that song we sing,
Come On,
You
Saints? Only Saints, this Mountain.
That must be pretty high.
Yeah. Right.
And it would have been...
Remember, it's in parentheses. So it might be Nebo, which it is. It is Nebo with or Pistis Mountain. Okay. Thank you for your cooperation on this. Interesting from the standpoint. We've discussed a few other points of it. All right, we close with a short prayer. We thank thee, our Father, thy goodness and thy mercy. We thank thee for the privilege of having some understanding of thy purposes, especially in that area which is so prevalent amongst humanity. We know thy desires will be carried out regardless of what man may do, Father. Thy purposes will be accomplished to the ultimate good of all. And we thank thee for the outworkings that thou hast and thy people. Bless them according to their desires to know thee and serve thee. And we thank thee for the ultimate glory that will shine forth in all of humanity. Through them. Be with us now. Forgive us of anything that we may set amiss. Guide and direct us in our furtherance of this day, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.